We're going to look into Scripture today. Turn to Luke chapter 1. You ever feel like this? For the women, that is. I saw this picture. I had it for a couple of years on the computer. But I was reading something a week, and little boys, one was 4 years old and one was 6 years old. And their mother was always saying, "I need a break. I need a break. I'm tired. I need some rest." So they decided to save their allowance, and coming up to Mother's Day, they put it all together, and they went into the flower shop to get some flowers for their mother. And they came back, and they had this little plant for her, and they said, "This is the best we could find." They said, "For the money that we had." He says, "One really beautiful one there," he said, "would suit you perfectly," the little six-year-old said. And he said, "Mom," he said, "we really wanted to get it for you." He said, "It had a nice ribbon on it." And she said, "Oh, really?" She said, "What did the ribbon say?" It said, "Rest in peace." So this is what, when you see a picture like that, this is what you think of. Okay, praise God. Luke chapter 1. And this is a story that you're very familiar with. This is Mother's Day, but we're going to look at a Christmas story. How's that? Mary was a mother. So we're going to look at that today and look at some different things concerning Mary. Luke chapter 1, beginning of verse 26. And when we look at stories like this, sometimes we only look at them Christmas time. I said a while ago, I had mine to preach a series called Christmas in July, and just look at the Christmas story in July sometime. And because usually when you come up to Christmas, you rush through things because there's so many things going on, and you don't really get a chance to look at, you know, every aspect of the Christmas story. One year you'll preach about the three wise men. Next year you'll probably preach about Mary and Joseph, and, you know, and different things. Next year you'll preach about something else, but you don't get a chance to follow it through the entire thing, like, you know. And maybe sometime we'll do that. I don't know if we do it this July or not, but I've often thought of that. I'd like to do something like that in July and just put the Christmas story a little different twist. Years ago, we left Newfoundland to go on a holiday. It's when the girls were really small. Actually, Tanya and David were just starting to go out together because that was one of the stipulations when we went. Tanya had to be allowed to phone back home and to talk to David. And so that's how many years it was. I think it was 1993. And we went to different places. We went down to Maine, and we went over to PEI, and then we came up to Ontario for a while. And we left, and we went down through Vermont and heading back to, down that way, down through the States. And we stopped at a place called Santa's Village. And anybody has ever been there? We stopped there, and it's interesting because this is July month, and you go in, and all Christmas carols playing, and everything is wonderful. And I love Christmas anyway, so I could stay there and enjoy it. But it was Christmas in July, and actually, as we were driving away from it, I don't know if it was the same day or next day or whatever, on the radio, they were still playing Christmas songs, and we were way off 100 miles away from it, and they were still playing Christmas songs, and they were calling it Christmas in July. And ever since then, I thought, man, it'd be nice to do a series on that, Christmas in July. But anyway, Luke chapter 1, verse 26, we're just going to read from verse 26 down to verse 38. And as I said, it's very familiar, but we'll stop and look at a couple things. It says, "Now in the sixth month, the angel Gabriel was sent by God to a city of Galilee named Nazareth, to a virgin betrothed to a man whose name was Joseph of the house of David, and the virgin's name was Mary. And having come in, the angel said to her, 'Rejoice, highly favored one, the Lord is with you. Blessed are you among women.' But when she saw him, she was troubled at his saying, and considered what manner of greeting this was. And the angel said to her, 'Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He shall be great, and he will be called the Son of the Highest. The Lord God will give to him the throne of his father David, and he shall reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there shall be no end.' Then Mary said to the angel, 'How can this be, since I do not know a man?' And the angel answered and said unto her, 'The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Highest will overshadow you. Therefore also that Holy One who is to be born of you will be called the Son of God. Now indeed Elizabeth, your relative, has also conceived a son in her old age. And this is now the sixth month for her who is called barren. For with God nothing will be impossible. And then Mary said, Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, be it to me according to your word. And the angel departed from her. May the Lord add a blessing to the reading of his word. And as you know, it is a very familiar passage. Mary, sometimes the church looks at her from different perspectives. Some people look at her and almost make a god out of her, and they pray to her. And there's nothing in Scripture about that. There's nothing in Scripture even implying that. Some people call her the mother of God, you know, our mother. I was reading something the other day that caught my attention in Galatians. Paul was talking about, and we get into this in our next Galatian message. Paul was talking, he said, Jerusalem which is above is the mother of us all. So it's not Mary, if you want to get technical about it. But anyway, there's some people that, like I said, almost deitize her, almost make her a god. But then on the other hand, we in evangelical circles, we've been so afraid of doing that that we've almost put her over in a corner somewhere that we don't even speak about her. And I believe both extremes are wrong, and we should respect her and honor, you know, what she was and how she became the mother of Jesus here on the earth, as when God sent his son to the earth. Max Lucado is a great author. He said there's 25 questions he wants to ask Mary, the mother of Jesus, when he gets to heaven. I'm not going to answer 25 of them, so don't get nervous. But here's five of these questions that he'd like to ask Mary, he said, when he gets there. He said, I'd like to ask Mary, what was it like to watch Jesus praying? That'd be interesting, wouldn't it? As Jesus is growing up and praying and different things, what was it like to see him pray? Question number two. He said, what did he and his cousin John, we just talked about the angel said to Mary, your cousin, your relative is going to have a baby, which is John the Baptist. John the Baptist was 6 months older than Jesus. Jesus in the physical, in his body. And so Max Lucado said he'd like to ask Mary, what did Jesus and his cousin John talk about as kids? As they were growing up, what did he talk about? Did they understand their calling in life? Did they understand everything that was going to happen? Here's another question. When he saw a rainbow, did he ever mention a flood? It's interesting, isn't it? Remember the flood and the rainbow is a sign? Here's the one. When he saw a lamb being led to the slaughter, did he act any differently? Because he was going to be the Lamb of God that one day would be led to the slaughter. Here's another one. Did the thought ever occur to you that the God to whom you are praying to was asleep under your own roof? Questions that you wonder about, and some questions we could never understand all the implications of it, you know, because there's all kinds of debate. How much did Jesus know when he was a baby? You know, he grew up, and the Bible says he grew in wisdom and stature with God and favor with God and man. So he grew as a baby. God the Father was still in heaven, but here's God the Son on the earth. So, you know, and our minds can't even comprehend these things. You get into it, you get into all kinds of weird ideas and different things, but we just believe the fact that Jesus came as a baby and was born and raised. But we're going to look at Mary today. And Mary, from what the Scripture teaches us, was just a very ordinary woman. They tell us that when Jesus was born, Mary was probably around 16 or 17 years old. You know, sometimes we think of Mary as 30 and 40 years old, but Mary was just a young teenage girl, you know, certainly before her 20s. And she was just a normal, everyday girl. Now, I believe that there's some things about her that please God. When the angel came to her, he said, you're highly favored. So obviously there was something about Mary that God looked at and he saw that, you know, this would be a woman he would choose to raise his child. But you got to understand, this wasn't a woman that, you know, had years of experience. This wasn't a woman that, was, you know, serving God for many, 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 many years. She's just a teenager. You know, and sometimes we look at teenagers, and we're living in a culture and a society today where teenagers, you know, you wonder about them sometimes. I'm sure our parents wondered about us as well. And, you know, but the thing is, Mary grew up and God could use her. And our children today, you know, and I know we got a lot of children here. And, you know, you see them up here, you know, and you hear them crying and screaming and stuff like that. It may bother you. It doesn't bother me at all. But it may bother you. I don't know. And as you're hearing all this, you're saying, man, you know, let's go. But listen, these are the ones that God is going to use in the future. This is the generation that's going to take over after we pass off the scene. So if we start to clamp them up now, you understand? You got no leaders for the future. And when you see him up here singing or trying to play the guitar and scream because he wasn't allowed to play the guitar while the video's on and everything else, and Stephanie was trying to calm him down, you know, so you say, man, just keep him quiet. But, and I understand that. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. But we're a family. Let's work together with each other and encourage each other and let the children grow. And keep them in an atmosphere where they can enjoy coming to church instead of saying all kinds of rules. You're not allowed to do this, not allowed to do something else, and drive them away from God. Anyway, that's on the side. But the Bible says that Mary, when the angel came to her, he said, Mary, he said, you're highly favored by God. Highly favored. In other words, she pleased God. Now, what was it that Mary did that caused her to be recognized as someone that pleased God? We don't know much about her early life. The Bible doesn't tell us. And we really don't have a whole lot to go on. We can look at some other people in Scripture and see what they did that God was pleased with. The Bible tells us over in Hebrews, referring to a man back in the Old Testament named Enoch, and you've all heard talk of Enoch, I guess. The Bible says Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Now, Enoch, if you go back into Genesis, you find out, you know, Adam lived 930 years and had sons and daughters, and he died. Seth lived, you know, so many years and had sons and daughters, and he died. You go right on down through the entire list of all the Old Testament patriarchs, right on down through. And when it comes to Enoch, it says Enoch lived 365 years, and he walked with God, and he was not. God took him. He was raptured. He was, you know, just taken up into heaven. The same thing as Elijah. He was just taken up into a whirlwind and went up to heaven. And the Bible tells us that Enoch walked with God. And the Bible tells over in Hebrews, before his translation, before he was translated from heaven, from earth to heaven, he had this testimony, or he had this commendation, the newer version says, that he pleased God. He walked with God, and he pleased God. Now, as I said, we don't know a whole lot about Mary, but if that's one of the stipulations of walking, of pleasing God, is walking with him, I believe Mary did that, even in her own teenage years and trying to understand everything. And I don't know if she's like we were when we were teenagers. We figured we knew everything, you know. And I don't know if Mary had that kind of an attitude or if she was more of a quiet girl. The Bible doesn't really tell us. You know, there's all kinds of speculation one way or the other. But as I said, I think there's times that we do a discredit because we won't even talk about Mary. Only at Christmas time we'll mention her, you know. But we need to understand that there were some things in her life that pleased God. And so if we want to be people that God can use, if you want to be, as mothers here today, mothers that God can use, God is going to see something in your life that he's pleased with. You have children with you and you think, well, you know, and don't misunderstand, we grew up with children, okay? And I was a child one time myself. And so were you. And now we had three, I've always told them this, we had three angels. And they always looked like angels too. but the thing is, like, we all grew up with children. And we all know the problems, that, you know, when raising children and things like this, and the rebellion when you get into certain years and things. We all go through that. You know, and sometimes it's hard on us, and sometimes, you know, because we can see a future. It's like you're growing up now, your little children, those that got little children here, you know, you try to discipline them and get, you know, get them on the right course now, because you know that if they keep that attitude as they get older, you know, something's going to happen bad and things like that. So you try your best to bring them, you know, in control and different things. And so God has given us children, and the very fact that you have a child shows to me that God says, listen, there's something about this person that I want him to raise this child for me. And I don't believe there's any child in this world that's just put there for no reason at all. I honestly believe that every last person on the planet, God's got a purpose for their life. And sometimes we look at it, we say, well, I don't see the purpose of this here, I don't see the purpose of something else. And sometimes we see things that just doesn't seem to work out the way that we think life should have worked out. And we say, I don't understand the purpose behind that. And I'm guilty of saying that myself sometimes. But we got to leave these things in God's hands and realize that God sees everything. We only see a very limited portion of our existence. God sees from the beginning to the end, the Bible says. So we have to leave these things in God's hands. But the fact is that every last person born, God's got a purpose for them. So as a mother here this morning, when you gave birth to your firstborn, your secondborn, or thirdborn, or however many borns you had, as you give birth to them, God had a purpose for each one of their lives. And we need to understand that the devil has also got a purpose for their life. And our responsibility as parents is to keep them on course so that they choose the right way. You understand that? When we dedicate children, and you know, we go through this, one of the things, and I always refer to this, one of the things that we read when we're reading the dedication ceremony, God has a purpose for this child's life. To find that purpose will mean success. But to miss that purpose, you know, no matter how much worldly acclaim you may gain, to, you know, and everything else, but if you miss the purpose of God, you've missed the success that God had for you. And there's a lot of people today, I believe there's a lot of talent out there in the world that God could use for his work, but they've chosen to use it for their own glory and use it for the glory of the enemy and everything else, and they've missed God's best for their life. And I believe God has got a perfect plan for all of us, a better life for all of us. So Mary, there's something about her life that God saw, that he chose her to be the mother when he placed his son in the earth, that she would keep him guided right. And there's something about her that caused her to be pleasing to God. Mary said in verse 38 there, she said, I am the Lord's servant. First, she said, how can this be? Now, if you know the story, and we went through this a couple of years ago when we were talking about Zechariah, when he had a vision in a temple, an angel came to him, and he was going through the routine of taking the sacrifices in or different things, and an angel appeared to him. Now, he was an old man, his wife was old, they had no children, and an angel appeared to him and said, Zechariah, your wife is going to have a son. And he started to question it. Now, he should have known the difference. Here he's a priest for a number of years, and he started to question it and couldn't understand how it was going to happen and everything else. And the angel said to him, he said, you'll be dumb until the day the child is born. And Zechariah never spoke again until John the Baptist was born, and they were trying to choose a name for him. And they said, somebody said, call him John. And they said, why call him John? He said, nobody else in the family with that name. And so they had a bit of a bickering there, and the Bible says that Zechariah took a piece of parchment and just wrote on it his name. Shall be John. And so they gave him the name of John, and then the Bible says his mouth was open, he could speak again. And then he started to prophesy over the child. Now, that was John the Baptist. When Jesus was born, the angel came to Mary, and he said, Mary, you're highly favored with God. You're going to have a child. Now, she asked a question, a very legitimate question. She said, how can this be? I don't know a man. In other words, I've never had sexual relationships with a man. How can I have a child? And the angel said, the Holy Spirit is going to come upon you and plant the seed in your womb. Now, you need to understand, I've gone through this before, but you need to understand that the Bible says the Word of God has got to be mixed with faith in order to produce something. Remember back over in the book of Hebrews, the Bible says, they had back under the Old Covenant, he said they had the same gospel preached to them that we have preached to us, the same message, that salvation was free and everything else. He said, but they never mixed it with faith. We're saved as we put our faith in Christ. Remember, the only thing that God expects from us now is to believe. Believe. Not work through all kinds of ceremonies and rituals and everything else. Just believe. It's very important to God, our faith is. The Bible says, whatever is not of faith is sin. So, anyway, Mary said, she said, how can this be? And then the angel explained to her, the Holy Ghost is going to come upon you, and that Holy One is going to be born of you, is going to be called the Son of the Highest. And she said, be it unto me according to your word. She mixed faith with it, and the word of God became flesh. You understand it? The word of God came into her womb, she mixed faith with it, and it germinated and produced flesh. It produced the body of Christ. Over in the book of Hebrews, the Bible talks about how a body has been prepared for him to come to the earth to live in. Now, so anyway, Mary pleased God, and she said, "Be it unto me according to your word." So she mixed faith with it. So Mary was a faithful one. Now, Mary must have trusted God completely. And here's something as parents, and especially mothers today, this is Mother's Day, we're talking to mothers, but it's for all of us. We need to, as our children are growing up, we need to cover them with prayer. We need to mix faith with everything we're doing. When we see them going off course, pray for them to come back on course again. Do what you can to bring them back on course. But we need to completely trust in God to do something about it. And we've all been in times, and I've gone through it in our own family, where it finally came to the place, I said, "God, is entirely up to you. There's nothing else I can do." And we've had to give things over to God, and then all of a sudden you see within a day or two, God starts turning things around. But as long as we try to hold on to it sometimes and pick at it and everything else, we keep causing problems. Sometimes you just got to release things to God. I'm not saying just do it, stupidly, but I'm talking about do it by faith and say, "God, we're just going to put our complete trust in you." And as you do that, God can use you and God can develop things in you. Now the Bible tells us, as I already mentioned, without faith, it's impossible to please God. Without faith, it's impossible to please Him. So Mary must have been a woman of faith, because the Bible says she pleased God. So if she never had faith, she wouldn't be able to please Him. So Mary must have been a young girl that had faith, probably beyond her years, probably beyond the other teenagers that she was growing up around. And so Mary was a woman of faith as well, and as mothers and as parents today, we need to also be mothers and fathers of faith and trust God. Now, in today's world in which we're living, and seeing this is Mother's Day, we talk to mothers, but as I said, it's the same principles for all of us, but it's hard sometimes to bring up children in the society that we're living in today. Now, we're growing up, and most of us here, can experience this or relate to this. When we're growing up, whatever we were taught at home was basically backed up in school. I grew up, and as a young fellow, up until we were in grade 6, I guess, we went to a Salvation Army school, which was a Christian school. In Newfoundland, they had Christian schools at the time, and Christian teachers. And so we went to the school. I went 1 year to an Anglican school, real young, and then eventually to a Salvation Army school. But we had Bible reading. We had our teachers pray over us. It was an atmosphere where, you're taught the same thing in school as you're taught at home. We're living in a society today where that's not the case. You try your best to bring your children up to teach them right and wrong in the home. You try to bring them up to recognize that there's a God, that He loves you, and we should obey Him. And we try our best in our own ability to do these things. And you send them to school. And now, I'm not saying this. I know there's some good Christian teachers in school as well, just trying their best to keep everything on course. I understand that. But generally speaking, you send them to school, and the school is teaching them, well, there's no such thing as God. That's just a figment of imagination, and man is evolving beyond that now. We never came from God. We came from, some fish in the sea, and all of a sudden we turned into a monkey, and all of a sudden we're people. We can send people to the moon now. And they put all these different things in, and the values that you have as a Christian, or, as a parent, the values that you have, they don't teach them in school anymore. You can stand for something that you just absolutely stand for as your family. You don't agree with a certain lifestyle or whatever, but you go to school and say, "Oh, no, that's an alternative lifestyle. That's okay now to stay." And so it's very difficult for parents today, and especially for moms, to bring their children up right. And I'm sure Mary had concerns as she was growing up. And as Jesus is growing up. Now, don't misunderstand what I'm saying. The Bible says Jesus never, ever sinned. He was tempted. The Bible says He was tempted in all points, just like we are. But yet, He was without sin. But I'm sure, Mary was concerned about Him. She worried about Him. Remember when He was 12 years old? The Bible says that Jesus stayed back at the temple. Mary and Joseph and the rest of the crowd all left to go back to Nazareth, and 2 days into it, 3 days into it, they realized that Jesus wasn't with them. She thought He was with some relatives and different things, and all of a sudden they realized Jesus is not here. They lost Him. So they had to go back again and right back to Jerusalem. Check with all the relatives. No, nobody saw. Went to the temple. Jesus was still in the temple, and He was debating with the lawyers and the teachers in the temple. And then he said to she said to him, she said, "Your father," she said, "we're worried about you. Why did you stay behind?" And he said, "Don't you realize?" He said, "I must be about my father's business." You know, so I'm sure Mary had times the same as any other parent, where she was concerned about the child. You know, you let your children out of your sight for 5 minutes, and you know, we see what happened. You turn on the news, you can almost hear it nightly, somebody being abducted and somebody, you know, things happening. So we're living in a totally different society, and as parents and as mothers and, well, fathers as well, but as parents, we need to saturate our children in prayer. I still today, there's not a day that goes over that I haven't prayed for my three daughters, their husbands, our grandchildren. I would pray for grandchildren. I told them this. I prayed for grandchildren when they were just that high themselves. I prayed that by the time our grandchildren come along, they would learn to serve God. That they, you know, they would marry husbands that would love God. You know, and so we have to keep saturating them with prayer. And you know, there's growing stages and different things, and I understand that, and we know. But listen, we need to saturate our families with prayer, and there's a legacy that we leave to our family. But anyway, I'm just going to wrap this up here. There are times, as I said, Mary had to face a few things, and some of the hardships that Mary had to face. One hardship that I don't think Gabriel mentioned to her. Sometimes when God gives you a word, he don't tell you everything. But Gabriel said to her, "You're going to have a child. He's going to be called the Son of the Highest." But he never mentioned to her that her reputation will be tarnished. Here's a young girl, not married, having a baby. Joseph thought she was running around on him. Remember that? I'm just using common terms. But Joseph thought that she was having a baby for someone else. And he decided in his own heart to privately put her away. In other words, break the... Now, there, King James says, betroth is an engagement. It's a little stronger than our engagement. You can get engaged today and just say, "Well, no, I broke off the engagement. That's all, just do it." But in order to get an engagement broken, and back in that day, it was like going through a divorce. So Joseph decided he's going to do this, but he's going to do it privately. Because you had to understand, these were still living. Now, for those that are here on Sundays when we're talking about Galatians, these people were still living under the law. And for a young girl to be pregnant meant that she needed to be stoned. Right? So Joseph was concerned about her. He loved her. And he decided that privately he'd try to clue this up and break off the engagement and, you know, do it in a way that would save Mary's face, so to speak. And the Bible says, while he thought on these things, Joseph went into a sleep, and an angel spoke to him. He said, "Joseph, don't be afraid to take Mary to be your wife." Because you got to understand, Mary was saying, "Joseph, no, I haven't with anybody else. I had a vision. And this is God's baby." You know, and Joseph found it hard to believe, like any of us would. And an angel finally came to him and said, "Joseph, don't be afraid to trust her. Because that baby that's in her womb is the Son of God." And the Bible says Joseph went after that. He took her as his wife, although they never had, the Bible says, he knew her not. And that's old King James. But they had no sexual relations until after Jesus was born. Now, so anyway, you know the story, the Christmas story and everything else. So she had a tarnished reputation. In John chapter 8, when Jesus was preaching one time, the Pharisees, they sort of got after Jesus, and they threw an accusation out that, if you know the background of the story, that Jesus is born, you know, without a earthly father. They said to Jesus, "We're not illegitimate children." Almost, you know, just rubbing it in that Jesus was illegitimate, you know. So you need to understand what's going on here. So reputation was tarnished. Secondly, there's a lot of people believe that Mary was and Joseph were very poor. They were just a young couple. When they brought Jesus to the temple to have him circumcised and present him before the Lord, they brought two turtle doves. This was the offering. Back under the old covenant, you had to bring a lamb, you had to bring, you know, different things. But if the family was poor and they couldn't afford anything, they could bring in just two turtle doves. you know, and bring them in and offer them as a gift. And that's what Mary and Joseph brought with them. This is still under the law, remember. They brought in two turtle doves as the offering when they brought the child. So, there was probably a situation where they were poor. I don't know all the details. The Bible doesn't give us a whole lot of background in it. We do know that Jesus, when he was born, he brought gold and frankincense and myrrh. And some people believe that because of that, it financed the family for life. I don't know. You know, I mean, there's debate on both sides. But when they brought the child, they brought two turtle doves, which is the offering of the poor. Like a lot of newlyweds, it amazes me this day and age. I mean, what took us 20 and 30 years to finally get to so we could buy a house or whatever, I mean, didn't get married now for 2 months and have a house. It's totally different what we were growing up like, you know. When we were growing up, I mean, sometimes you had a cardboard box that was your coffee table. You know, some of you can remember that, you know. But now, I mean, they come out and I was talking to one man the other day. He said, his daughter just got out of university or whatever. He said, she's making more now. And he said, I've been working 40 years. He said, she's making more in the first job than I'm making after 40 years. You know, so it's a totally different situation. But we've all gone through in our early years of marriage, stuff like this, not having enough money to put gas in the car, not having the money, you know, do this and do something else. You know, and just trying to, you know, you get into the first week of the month, money is all gone, you got the rest of the month left. You know, and you're trying to figure out how to balance all these things out. And we don't know. Mary and Joseph probably went through the same kind of a situation. I don't know all the details. You know, the Bible doesn't give us a whole lot. But anyway, then we look at Mary also had to raise her children alone, as far as we know. The last time Joseph is mentioned in Scripture in relation to being with Mary and the family was the time when they lost Jesus in the temple. You don't hear of Joseph anymore. Now, most theologians believe that Joseph maybe died when Jesus was a teenager. We don't know. But all we hear is that Mary was the one that was raising Jesus after this. Mary was involved in everything. And so maybe Mary was a single mom. Now, she had other children after Jesus. And, you know, so she might have had three of her children at the time and you know, or whatever. And here's Joseph is not on the scene as far as we know from Scripture, so Mary had to raise the child by herself. So, you know, there's all these different things. And a lot of parents today, a lot of mothers today, you know, single moms have raised children on their own, never had help from their, you know, from the father of the child. And so we need to, you know, help them the best we can and pray for them and encourage them and everything else. But we need to understand that God sees all this stuff. God knows all these different things. When Jesus came to the earth, he experienced everything that a family could experience. He went through every kind of a situation that a family ever went through. And so we see all these different things taking place. And then, lastly, Mary is off again. Mary was faced with everybody hating her child. Jesus himself even recognized this. The Bible says that Jesus said to his disciples, he said, they hate me. He said, they'll hate you also. We're still living in a society today where you can talk about Buddha, you can talk about Muhammad, you can talk about Allah, you can talk about, but the minute you mention Jesus, there's something happens. People hate the name of Jesus. Now, I'm not talking about the church world. The church world loves the name of Jesus. But the world itself. You can get on TV, you can curse Jesus, you can say everything bad about him, and everybody just laugh at it and put it in comedies and everything else. But you get up and talk about, I love Jesus, they won't even put it on TV. There's something about the name of Jesus that's different than any other name. The Bible says God has highly exalted him and given him a name that's above every name. And one day, Allah, or not Allah, because no Allah, anyone's only devil, but Buddha, whoever else is out there, all the different teachings that they have, Confucius and all these different things, Muhammad, they're all going to bow and recognize that Jesus is Lord. You understand that? Jesus is Lord. So Mary understood all these different things. And but right to the very end, Mary modeled what a mother should be. The Bible tells us that even at the cross, even when it came to the cross, Mary was there, and right to the very end. When they brought the baby, and I mentioned earlier when they brought the baby and the two turtle doves, when they brought the baby, and there was an older lady there called Anna, and there was an older man there called Simeon. And Simeon, God had spoken to him, and he was an elderly man, and God said to him, Simeon, he said, you won't die until you see the Messiah. And one day when Mary and Joseph walked in when Jesus was 8 days old, they brought Jesus into the temple to be presented, same thing we do for a baby dedication today, or you know. And they brought Jesus in to be presented. And Simeon was passing by, and all of a sudden, something in his spirit just caught what was happening. And he went over and he took the child, and he started to prophesy over the child. And he said to Mary, he said, this child, he said, will grow up and different things arise and fall of many. And he said to Mary, he said, and a sword will pierce your own soul. Now this is just a teenager. She's trying to figure out what's all this about. But the Bible says Mary kept all these things and pondered them in her heart. A sword will pierce your own soul. But 30 years later, when Jesus hung on the cross, when they took him and they whipped him just before the cross, they whipped him, they beat him, they pulled out his beard, he spit in his face, they put the crown of thorns upon his head, they hung him upon a cross, drove nails through him, drove a spear in his side. At that time, the literal spear went into Jesus, but there was also a spear that went into Mary's soul. They cut her to the heart of what she see her son was going through. Mary was a model mother, and as we finish up this today, and we're going to pass out a few things in a minute, a few flowers and that, but maybe here today, you know, you grew up in a Christian home, a Christian heritage, and maybe you got good memories of your mom. Maybe your mom is not with you anymore. Maybe she is still here. You know, this week is 29 years since my mother died. My mother died on May 9th. And every time, and a date year, this is 1983, this is a few months before Stephanie was born, actually. This was the day before, or day after Mother's Day. We just celebrated Mother's Day with her. And the next day, we traveled to get back to our home church. We were in ministry. And next day, we got the phone call that Mom, you know, took a heart attack and died. And maybe your mother's not with you today. But there's something about mother that still touches your heart. You know, like we just saw in the videos there, the sacrifices that they made for us. Things that they would do. You know, and we're living in a society today where motherhood is looked down on and people are laughed at it and the children just become a bother and everything else. But listen, the most precious thing in this world is raise up a new generation to serve God. These are our leaders for the future. And we need to understand that. And maybe you got some fond memories of your mom. Maybe you got some rough memories. Maybe your mom is still with you. Maybe your mom is still alive today. And this is a day when we honor them. And if you're here today and, you know, you've had a Christian heritage, but you've just not lived up to it. You've just not been to the place where you should be. What a day to make that commitment back to God again. In honor of your mother, because of what Jesus did for you on Calvary, to realize that what mom and dad was teaching me is right, and I need to focus in on that and get my life in order, get my family in order, and bring up our families to serve God.